that's how I ended up in Thailand. And you know those long speedboats where they've got the really long rudders? Yeah, it's freaking LSJ powered.
Oh, nice. That's a great dream right there.
I know.
Nice. So
I
love watching. Slow?
It was fast.
It was slow.
Yeah. Oh, no, it was a turbo swapped LSJ. Yeah.
Oh, okay, so it's almost as good as
just LSJ. Yeah, get out of here.
Just choochin'.
Yeah, yeah, guess what? An LSJ can rev to 16K, so.
Yeah, let's go.
Let's go.
Okay, and guess what? You have a power band from like 10% of that.
For the whole thing? Anyway, what is up, guys? Thanks for joining us. ZZP Power Hour number 172 today. Before we get to the topic, I'm bringing up a featured product because we're pretty pumped about these. If you guys didn't see them on the website, for all the LNF boys.
God's engine has come upon us to bless us this day.
Or base model guys that want to have the superior knuckle.
That's true.
I did that.
Can you repeat that? can you repeat the last part about that?
Yeah. The knuckle might be better, but...
LNF parts are getting better.
So, the biggest thing that I like about these is, as we service a lot of cobalts here and HHRs, is AutoZone likes to sell you the wrong ball joint. Mm.
Oh. Don't get me started on this.
So, ball. You go and you buy a new control arm. Because you're in a pinch, and
you buy a new control from ZZP. They that was $130 and a
well, yeah, you should have bought it from ZZP, but you know, you go to AutoZone and you're like, hey, I got a cobalt. They sell you a control arm. Well, they sell you a 19.5 millimeter ball joint control arm. You go home, you bolt it in. It kind of looks tight, and at that point, you either crack the control arm or the knuckle trying to tighten it down, or you just put it in and don't realize it's not tight.
And then you continue to drive.
It wobbles out your knuckle, and then when you come to bow, we can't even put a new control arm and ball joint in there because it's so wallered out.
Mm-hmm.
Wallered out.
Blown out
knuckle. And then, you know, we got to try and find a used knuckle. I got to steal one of Ryan Derrick's old ones. I got to do something to get your car back on the road. Instead, now we just go to the shelf.
We go to the shelf. They are forged.
They are forged, boys.
Aluminum, just like the factory ones. Fit all the factory provisions.
They're nice.
And they're on the shelf, ready to ship.
Right. They don't.
A very affordable price.
So, guys, too, that Bo just brought up a great point. With KG2, we have begun with both our control arms and the knuckles.
We should almost combo it. Like, you could just grab both. That'd be sick.
LSJ, guys, we are coming out for one for them pretty soon. So, guys, too, check your ball joints and your knuckles because AutoZone decided to split the difference for a 19.9 control arm size, and the LSJ guys put them in there. Oh, it's tight. It's good. No, it's just wearing that hole out. So then we check an actual 19.5. It isn't. Mm-hmm. And then on the LNF guys, they did the same thing. And so you get it in there, and it's still all buggered up.
Yep. And like, I can't stress enough how important it is. Every one of your drive wheels suspension components needs to be as tight as possible.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
When you accelerate, those tires are pulling forward. So if they are flexing, they're towing in. And now you're towing in your drive tires. So you're torque steering because it doesn't know what direction to go. When you slam on the brakes, it does the exact opposite. They try to stop, so they tow out.
Yeah.
Like, and then you get the crazy feel. Like
most cars, just you can't even get them in spec with how loose they are.
Yeah.
All of our clutch installs basically come factory with a set of control arms and tire odd ends.
Yeah.
Yep.
You need it. But I think that's a great segue.
Great segue into the topic today. We're going to talk about diagnostics and troubleshooting.
But this is necessary. It's so necessary because guess what, guys?
Step one, read the codes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But guys,
the codes are in the computer.
Yeah. Our cars are old people. Let's do it.
They tell you exactly what's wrong.
Yeah.
Like, maybe not exactly, but they get you a good in the wind direction of where you need to go.
They
with
are
the
not riddles.
No.
That is my favorite circuit code.
This the circuit is messed up.
I cannot tell you.
That's gonna be this whole podcast talking about circuit freaking codes.
I have a misfire with a number 6 injector circuit code.
Yeah.
You need to look at injector 6 wiring.
So guys, a math
circuit code, a MAP circuit code.
Any of
it is not the tune. It's not the tune.
Yeah.
It's your car.
So guys, seriously on that too. So I kind of want to do this in a little bit of a list fashion too, just to kind of keep on topic with it. So Bo brought up codes. The number one thing is read the codes and they're not riddles.
Yeah.
I would say because on the Facebook group yesterday, some guy had a I saw he had a math code. He's like, I had a math code. I did this. I did that. Blah, blah, blah. Some random guy was like, that's your O2 sensor.
Yep.
I'm like.
Well, my brother replaced his O2 sensor and his worked.
Yeah. Like.
Don't fire the parts cannon.
Please no, do not fire the parts cannon.
It takes a little bit longer, but go down the diagnostic checklist.
Does it take longer? I don't think so. In the long run?
In the long run, no.
It doesn't. No.
I'm having such a hard time not interrupting today, I just have to say.
Hey, it's okay, like, Tim.
Oh, man, I'm so passionate.
Stay off your soapbox.
I'm trying to stay, I'm very passionate about this. Like, okay, when I get a code, I will check codes, I will write that code down, I'll clear the code. See if it comes back.
Yep.
If I have a scanner available at the time, I will scan it to make sure that sensor is working. But like, it is possible that you can just have a random code that like really isn't something broken. Like a signal was broken somehow for a split second and the ECM's like, whoa, and then it's not really a problem.
Chris Boltman brings up a good one.
Yep.
Yeah. Don't clear the codes before you bring it to us because we kind of needed those codes. And usually...
Well, just write them down.
Yeah.
Writing them down is fine. You know, give us the list of codes you had. And
I think,
you know,
and, I think some people like to clear their codes because they're like, oh, I don't want ZZP to see all the codes my car has. We don't care. But, you know, then what happens is we get everything together. We start it up and then the codes come back.
Yeah. They were like, did this happen before or after? Yeah.
Yeah.
But so, yeah, don't call Ryan Derrick or Tyler Spain and say, oh, well, my car did this the other day and the check engine light came on. And you're like, oh. Okay.
The first thing I'm going to ask you is, hey, man, what are the codes?
What was the code?
There's like what? Know. There's like almost 3,000 codes?
Yes.
Like,
there's a lot of codes.
There's like at
it
least...
It could be anything.
At least 2,800 codes. So, yeah, like we need to know. Like it's eeny, meeny, miny, mo is not going to work in this situation.
We're already trying to rub a crystal ball when we're doing remote diagnostics. Because, guys, you got to remember, remote diagnosing a car is very difficult.
Yeah.
We are very specialized in these cars. We kind of have a good idea sometimes.
We've got some insight into what commonly could be wrong. Yeah. But there are so many components within these vehicles, and especially the new ones.
Yeah.
Don't even get me started. I mean, like all the electronics and body codes. But just speaking engine and transmission, you know, a 171 code. We know that's a vacuum leak.
Yeah.
99.9% of the time. But there's, I mean... and we'll get into all this, but you got fuel pressure, you got sensors, you got wiring, you got, I mean, all sorts of things.
Yeah.
That we could ramble all day on about, but anyway.
Yeah.
I interrupt you.
No, not at all. This is very important because, again, knowing where to start is the best thing that you can ever do for yourself and for everyone that's helping you. Because when you tell us, like, hey, I have my summer on my car and doing this and doing this and doing this and doing this, it doesn't help us. We need to know codes. We need to know the data. We need to know what mods you have on the car, things like that. The next thing I kind of want to bring up is this is for everybody.
Yep.
Look at the bigger picture is how I want to say that. Because I know Tim gets it. I know both. As my three tuners up here, I know you guys get a lot. Hey, guys, I just got a coder intake and this. I rebuilt my entire engine, but I know the coder intake is a fault.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
It's... Like I just said, there are so many components within a running, driving engine and car that if you tear this sucker down and put it all back together, don't blame the part first. Don't blame the tune first. It's very possible that something's unplugged. Something is in the wrong plug.
Yes.
I mean, they're like on an LSJ, you can plug the MAF into the injectors.
Yeah.
the coil pack into the MAF.
Yeah.
The coil pack into the injectors, like... There's three of the same plug, like, within the cubic foot. Like,
yeah. I think that's about the only GM car they did that on.
I don't know why they did that, but...
Another one that people don't realize is the ECM is powered on a lot longer than you think
this is. This is a good one, too.
Like, you can key off the car and the instrument cluster shuts off. That does not mean the ECM is not powered up anymore. That ECM is still powered up, like... for, I don't know, a minute or two after you shut the car off. So let's say you pull your car into the garage, you pop your hood, you pull it into the garage, shut the car off, pop the hood, walk under the hood and unplug your MAF. Boom. Now you have all the multi-sensor codes.
Yep.
Baro, humidity, mass airflow, IET, you have all those codes. It from just unplugging the sensor when the car's not running anymore, that is possible.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
Like, you got to keep that in mind. Like,
for sure.
It's not a big deal. I mean, you can just clear them, but then like what can happen is the customer's upset and then they call and yell at Ryan because they put a colder intake on their car and now they have five coats.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, all because of that.
Yeah. Like, that's why we say on especially the newer vehicles, disconnect your battery.
It's a really good
before
idea.
Before you do the install, because like Tim said, you're removing those sensors and the computer's like, whoa, wait. What are you doing? What's going on?
The clear them and see what comes back trick is a good method.
Yeah. Definitely. I do
just
love it.
Just don't forget to write them down. Yeah. Don't forget.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
So that's why we have, you know, look at the codes and see what they are and believe them. The number two is realize that, you know, you got a lot of stuff. You know, like if you build an engine and, you know, you do one or two parts, you realize that there's a lot more wrong doing with an engine, like building an engine, than there is to do that. And something else that I really like, you know, kind of going like when we're all diagnosing the parts and going over things and we're giving you ideas on what to do, it's a good idea to also realize that the PCM is always not the problem.
Yeah.
I know we talk about this. I think we've all up here gotten it a few times. Like, hey, man, I think my tune's bad. Hey, man, so what's going on? So I usually ask, hey, what's going on? What changed? Has this been running fine? Said, yeah, this ran fine for about a year or two. This ran fine for this. But lately it's been doing this. So I think I'm going to use Tim's quote for this one. The car can still have failures. Just because you got a tune does not mean that your car is invincible.
Uh-huh.
Now, you want to elaborate on that one a little bit, Tim?
Yeah, I mean, cars break. Stock cars break,
plastic
modern cars
degrades,
break.
Like,
just because you got a tune doesn't mean that every code you get from that point on is the tune. Like,
well, and I think where Ryan's going with this more often than not is it's hard to find a shop or some place to bring your car that's familiar with performance cars and modifications on those. Like, well, not everybody can call up Bo and bring it here.
The odds are stacked against you because you have an old car, you have a modded old car. Those two things are, everybody's like, no, thank you.
And you bring it to your dad's buddy's shop who your dad's used for years. That path that they're going to go down is either A, it's the part because it's not a factory part.
Yep.
Yes.
Or B, it's the PCM.
Yep.
Yeah.
And they, 99% of the time, they'll jump to that and they'll be like, well, the PCM's bad.
It is a weird one.
I can't stress enough like how
the last thing we ever run.
Yeah. I can't stress enough how frustrating it is. Like every person that is like a GM or a Ford mechanic of 25 years and has all the licenses you can possibly have, you can bring in your whatever vehicle with like a cold air intake. And they will blame that cold air intake for your phaser codes, your cam codes.
Your like, transmission codes.
It's like, how can you be so smart and so stupid at the same time? Like, it's very weird. They get very upset when you take an OEM part off and you put a non-OEM part in. And as soon as you do that, their brain stops working. Like, they just get mad and they're like, why did you do this? And now the car's broken. Like, I can't even count the amount of people I've dealt with like that.
Oh yeah,
like friends,
yeah,
or parents, friends, and, or whatever, you know.
So, TJ brings up a good point. A complete no start can sometimes be a pain in the butt to diagnose.
It can.
This is actually super easy to go through. You got a no start. There's three things that make an engine run.
Yep.
Air, spark, and fuel. Obviously, it's probably getting some air. Next thing you'd want to check that's easy is the spark and fuel. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then compression, if you have all three of those things there, you know, then you gotta, if all three of those are there and working, then it, you know, that'd be weird.
Crankshaft position sensor.
Yeah, exactly.
Position sensor.
Yeah. Something else that's basically fooling the ECM into a situation
not
that's not
seeing,
accurate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just wanted to say, what's up, Eden? Nice to see you in here.
Oh, nice.
Yep. Eden was one of our former employees. He's living his best life now, so it's cool to see him in here. He's still around the GR area. But another one I wanted to grab was Derek Williams says, does a tune affect how data PIDs read on other surface-focused tools?
Nope.
Absolutely
negative.
Not.
Negative.
It's the exact same thing.
What we're doing with HP tuners has no effect on what those sensors see. And we can, like, say LNF with stage 3 sensors. We can change the inputs for them to read correctly, but the data that that sensor gives you is still going to be the same.
Yes.
It's still going to rely on the same min and max values, and you know, if it sees over this or under this, it'll throw a code. So you know what we do to the computer, we're still using GM computers.
Yep.
We're just taking those ones and twos and tweaking them a little bit.
Yeah, there is no difference in a PCM that you get from us versus an OEM GM PCM.
Yeah.
They are all 100% OEM, which is why it is I can almost call it dang near every time when a customer calls and say, yeah, my PCM is bad. Hey, man, what's going on with it? Is the car throwing a code?
Yep.
No codes. The car says my car doing. Hey, man, anytime a PCM, anytime a mechanic doesn't know what's wrong with the PCM, if they're not like us, they will immediately blame, they don't know what's wrong with the car, they'll immediately blame the PCM.
Yep, the brain box is bad.
Yep, computer's bad, whatever, whatever. Like, is it throwing a very specific code? Is it throwing this code? No, it's not a PCM. They can, 2 weeks later, they're like, found it, man, it was a vacuum leak.
Uh-huh. And our specific, at least LSJ and some of the older platforms, the P0600 series codes, 600, 601, 605, whatever it might be, those, if you get one of those,
The PCM's probably bad.
Or the PCM's not bad, it's just maybe the wrong PCM for the car.
Or that, yeah.
You know. Another one, cam codes.
Yeah,
cam if you have a cam code, it's nothing to do with any of the parts we sold you.
Nope.
You did your timing chain wrong.
Yep.
And yes, I know there is no way that your mechanic or you can make a mistake. But I promise you, like, if you have one of those codes, what a 15...
0016 or 0017.
16 and 17, yeah. Like, if you have those codes, it's pull the front cover, fix the timing chain.
It's out of time.
Yep.
And there's
every
you did it once,
single time.
It's going to be so much easier to go back in and check it again.
There's a possibility if it's a stock cam that the reluctor spun.
Yes,
but
that can happen very rarely.
Very rarely,
but it's possible. My favorite one, kind of on the same vein, is 300 codes. P0300. So customers, the P0301 through 308 are misfire codes for that specific cylinder. So 301, cylinder 1, 302, 2, 3, 4.
It's that season.
Yeah,
it's P0300 season.
Oh yeah.
It's 07. Solstice guys, Solstice Kappa guys, yours is different. You're the only one.
Yeah, you're the only one. That.
You're the only one. Yours is different. But, you know, we can help you out with that. But a common one is, hey, I got your PCM tuned. I got a misfire now. Can you tune out the misfire?
No.
We can't.
No.
So, guys, so as much as, you know, we would love this ability to just be able to tune out misfires.
It would be great.
But we, unfortunately, cannot tune out misfires. Misfire is a mechanical issue. Typically, either an incorrect spark plug gap, a misfiring coil pack, a vacuum leak, a P0171 code, etc. like that. Things like that you really want to address directly. You know,
this is how I describe it. So the more power you make, the more cylinder pressure you have. The more cylinder pressure you have, the harder it is for that spark to jump the gap. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Does it make a lot of sense? Not really a lot of sense if you think about it. I mean, it does and it doesn't. But like in pressure, it is harder for that spark to jump. So you put a ZZP 1.0 PCM in your LNF Cobalt, let's use for an example, because that is a ECM controlling boost car. All of a sudden your power goes up. Mm-hmm. Let's say you have a factory gap. What is a factory gap on an LNF?
Or 34 to 032.
So you have a 034 gap that's now a 35 because the spark plugs have 40,000 miles on them and the tips are worn from that voltage jumping that gap so many times. Now you have a misfire. Mm-hmm. It's a pretty easy solution. I mean, if your plugs have a ton of miles on them, just put a new set of plugs in them with a tighter gap. What do you guys run? Like a 28?
28 to 32.
Yeah, so like 28 to 32 gap with the 1.4s and the LTGs, we usually have to get into the low 20s. Yeah.
Yes.
I generally try to shoot for 25 if you can get away with it. But like the reason I said it's 0300 season is because the air is cold. Your car is making a ton of power right now.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, overboost codes, low fuel pressure codes. Uh-huh. Misfire codes, like this, when you make a lot of power, those codes are a problem.
Yeah.
And, you know, a stronger coil pack, which shout out to a new product that we're releasing
next week.
Next week.
Oh, so,
yeah.
Oh,
We have a really cool product for you 1-4 guys for increasing voltage to spark. That's going to be on the website next week. So make sure to check out the ignition section of our website.
Yeah, those generator engines, they don't like 20-plus pounds of boost.
They don't like pounds of boost.
Yeah, they don't like anything.
They don't like coolant. They don't like anything.
they weren't designed for any of this.
They don't like anything.
They don't like thermostats, radiator hoses.
They like 0% of the above thing. But the Sonic and Cruises are a great example of kind of what we're talking about.
They'll put you through the diag.
They will specifically put you through the diag thing with, like, again, I'm not crapping on the 1.4. It's just
it's a good engine, but they do like to pop up little issues now and then.
They will get codes. They will leak all the fluids.
They're real big
possible.
On the codes. To me, the real reason why they throw a lot of codes is it's a very archaic.
Very cheap, yeah, it's a cheap archaic way they were built.
Engine,
yeah,
in a very high tech car.
Yes,
and so anytime there's an inconsistency in all that ECM's tolerances, it just codes. Well, they are very code happy.
Oh yeah, they will throw a code in.
When was the last time GM, other than the Sonic, the 1.4? When was GM had what? When was the last time GM had an iron block engine? Was the 3800.
Yeah.
Or the early 5.3s or 4.8s or whatever they might have
iron
been.
Iron block with plastic parts, you know, old school GM. And then they put it in this new high-tech car with a bajillion parameters that it's monitoring. And if it gets out of any of them, you got a code.
I mean, they still run that engine in up to 2020 in the Sonic.
Yeah.
And maybe later in some other models.
21 in the Trax. Yeah.
That engine is so old.
Ancient.
Yeah.
It should have been something they put in like the Cavalier back in the day.
Yeah.
Or something.
Yeah.
You think so?
Oh, man, that would have been cool.
That would have been with cool.
Turbo back then? Woo!
Yeah, I mean, you know what, though? Like, what I appreciate about the 1.4
The crew
should
have got the L&F and the Sonic. Gosh.
What I appreciate about the 1.4 is it satisfies the mod bug people. That car has so many things you can upgrade.
Very much.
And I don't know about, like, you customers, but, like, I just feel so satisfied, like, bolting on a part that's aftermarket that's better than the stock one.
Yeah.
And, like, that 1.4 just, man, it satisfies that.
There's a lot you can do to it.
It's very OG ZZP.
Yes.
Because that was the Grand Prix. Yeah, it's the premium car, but the brakes are small. And, you know, it didn't have an intercooler and all this stuff. And for a while, cars got really, really good, and they're still getting really good. I mean, the brakes are great. A lot of it is very optimized. And then GM was like, we got 300,000 generator and motors.
We got them generator motor dang right there.
And they're like, yeah, the Sonic.
Yeah.
And then the turbo's bad. The brakes are bad. Like, everything.
Everything
But
is.
It's such a good car.
It is a very good car. Yeah. I drive one every winter.
Yeah.
My winter beater.
Jesse, email me. Definitely, you're on the list.
Yeah, we can get you one now.
I'll send you one like ASAP.
One thing that I wanted to note too, because, you know, in this general diagnostics and troubleshooting topic that we're talking about, it's generally focused on towards the customers, just because that's the people that we deal with every day. Obviously, us three as tuners, you as customer service, but do not take what we're saying as a personal slight towards you. When we say, hey, you've got this code, do this. That's because we're coming from a place of, we've seen this 100 times.
Take the ego out.
I use the saying all the time, the best thing I can do for your car is treat it as if it were mine, and this is what I would be doing.
Yep.
Yeah.
This is what, literally, if this was my car right now in the garage, this is what I would do. And this is what you should do. And, you know,
that is what makes us good at our job.
We'll come back and, you know, if... You know, maybe my guidance wasn't perfect, you know, but at least we checked that and now we can move on to the next thing.
Yeah.
And, you know, the biggest thing I would say is, as far as diagnosing, is don't lose your patience. Don't lose your frustration. Like, understand that even if this is a small issue, it might take you 3 weeks to dial in, you know. I mean, there's so many things that happen around here in our shop that we get done fixing and I'm like, man, why did that take us 3 days to figure that out? You know, like the new ATS-V had a MAF signal code.
Yeah.
And, you know, I hate to even say it. We were pulling in the shop, looking it over, replace the MAF.
We parts canned it.
Oh, we did. I drive it again.
Math code.
Math code. I'm like, shoot. I'm at home. I'm looking at it under the hood. I'm looking around, playing with it, bring it in. You know, we tried something else, I think. And then next day, math code. I'm like, shoot. Oh, look up the wire 8 inches. Here's a little bundle of electrical tape behind the loom. What's this? Oh, it's just two wires in there. Just
this kind of hanging the sword fighting each other over there. Right here.
Playing just the tip.
And you that's another thing, because a lot of people haven't owned these cars since new. So who knows what Billy
guys,
did to your car the last time.
Guys, like, I want to shout out to everyone.
That's a huge thing.
This is for all of us.
Yeah.
These cars are old.
The previous owners have done some
these
stuff.
These previous owners do not believe everything that they tell you.
I've done some things that I'm not proud of.
That's why we can't sell our cars. Man, I got this sweet deal from Tyler at ZZP on this perfect Cobalt. There's nothing wrong with this thing. He's Tyler at ZZP. And then they get under there, like, oh.
Yeah. Oh. Preston's not here.
So guys, Sue, another thing that's really common, too, when diagnosing things is, I want to talk specifically about the 171 code, the vacuum leaks. So, there's a lot of different ways that people will tell you can diagnose a vacuum leak, and the most common one I hear that, to me, is one of the most inaccurate is your smoke test. Like, a smoke test, in so many ways, will find the path of least resistance and give a false reading on some sort of vacuum leak a lot. Well, we have a few different ways to go about it here. And, you know, there's a lot of different ways. I usually tell people the brake cleaner test or the soapy water test is mine. I'm not a big fan of the smoke test. But what do you guys kind of think about that?
I don't think the brake cleaner test is a good one either.
Okay.
No. I think the brake cleaner test works good if you got a leak on your carburetor. Because there's only one place for vacuum to go in or out, and you can spray around the whole thing. But with these new engines and so many different fittings and so many different small things,
you know,
if you got a small vacuum leak on the charge pipe, you can't really spray brake clean on it and expect the engine to change. It's not
a vacuum leak. It only works on a direct vacuum leak.
Sorry, I'm calling it vacuum leak. But, you know, just across the board, it's not a very good test. You know, 3800 guys love that. I sprayed the whole engine bay down with brake clean.
Yeah.
And you really just can't find it.
It's spotless now.
Degreased everything.
I think out of all the tests, you know, the smoke test is the best one. But ultimately, you just got to be really thorough with the whole thing.
I always tell my customers, start at the air filter, go all the way.
Yeah, follow the airflow. You know where that.
Yeah.
Where that air is going.
Tighten up your couplers. Look them over. You know, like on an LSJ, there's not really many vacuum lines.
Yeah.
And that's. That's another thing is you say, oh, it's a vacuum leak, and people are like, oh, well, all my lines are good.
It's essentially
because
anywhere.
Extra air is in entering. You
it's,
know?
It's essentially anywhere pre-engine, essentially in most cases.
Yeah, well, post-math, where unmetered air is entering the system.
Yes. Yep.
It's frustrating because a lot of people listen to respond.
Yeah.
And so that's when true. You're like, hey, you're like, for example, a vacuum leak from the throttle body to the head. So that is a vacuum system leak. That will show in the MAF in a low MAF frequency at idle. Mm-hmm. That's my favorite go-to anyway. If you have an LTG car or a 1.4 car and your MAF hertz are 1,400 hertz at idle, that's not possible unless you have a really big MAF tube. Mm-hmm. But it's not possible. So that means that air is getting in somewhere else.
Yep.
Now, if you have a leak post-MAF, now it's kind of a little more difficult. Now it's not a vacuum leak because from the MAF sensor to the throttle body is not vacuum. There's air moving, but it's not necessarily vacuum. Vacuum is from the throttle plate to the head. So now the leak between the MAF and the throttle body is now a boost leak.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
So now it shows metered air is sucked in. And as it builds pressure, this leak gets bigger and bigger, and it leaks out. And now it shows as a rich condition in the car. Mm-hmm. So that'll inflate your torque numbers. It'll make your air-fuel ratio just unnecessarily rich. Like, let's say you tuned your car. The fuel trims are single digits, low single digits. And now all of a sudden, it's a point richer than it was 6 months ago.
Yeah.
That means you have a leak somewhere, a minor one. It could be a blown coupler. It could be a loose coupler. It could be a vacuum line popped off your charge pipe.
Yeah.
Like,
and it might not fully look like it's all the way off.
Yeah, it could be,
it could just be backed off a little bit.
It could be, especially with charge pipes, you get the triangle a lot. Uh-huh. Like from the top, you look at it, everything looks connected. But you look underneath, it's like out of the cupboard on that in that area. And that is a, your car will drive like poo-poo real quick. Yeah.
And so, it can be frustrating. It can be hard. I understand, you know, as from a customer aspect, like, oh, they keep saying I have this vacuum leak. But, and especially when you're remote tuning, you know, I just want my tune. Yeah, we tell these guys over and over and over again, we're not going to continue unless you fix it. And from the customer aspect, yeah, it's like, oh, man, I know everything's good. But you really have to put the time into it. And, you know, if it means taking your intake manifold back off and putting it back on and reseating
that's,
it.
That's what sucks with the 3800 gas guys is we get a brand new full stack intercooler on the car.
Yeah.
And I'm like... Yeah, we got a back leak. Okay. And the last thing they want to do is pull it back off.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that's a lot of work.
It's another whole Sunday in the shop. It's two more gaskets from ZZP. Like, it's the whole thing. It sucks, but it will literally improve your drivability, your fuel mileage. The whole thing will just be a much more optimized setup if we just take the time and diagnose it.
Well, also, too, because we'll get it occasionally, too, where let's say Tyler or Tim or any of you guys are remote tuning someone. And you say, hey, man, you got a vacuum. Week after week after week. They eventually take it somewhere else. Oh, this person fixed my vacuum leak. But then you go through a few months later, and you actually fix the vacuum leak. Now that tune is off.
Yep.
Yeah.
Now the file is wrong again. So that's a unique approach that at ZZ Performance that we take that other people necessarily don't. Mm-hmm. We don't tune around problems. We want you to fix your problems so we know the car is good. And then...
Yeah. We want your car to be as fast as possible.
Yes.
Please understand that. Yes. Like, there is I want your car to be faster than my car, if possible. Like,
it gives us so much to see people put these things together and make them run well.
Yeah.
Yes. Like, none of us are going to hold your car back.
Yeah.
Like, we might not risk that extra 2 degrees of timing in your car over ours because we work here and, like, it's cheaper for us to fix our cars. But, like, if you have a good running car, we'll push it as hard as we feel safe.
I usually run customer cars more aggressive than mine.
well, I know Tim's
specifically. I'm tired. I just want to drive it.
Yeah. He has tuned, like, my ATS makes 500 to the tire. He's tuned some ATS out there a little more aggressively than my car. Like,
yeah, I have.
Like, a few times. So, again.
I had an M90 guy the other day. M90, 14 pounds of boost.
Woo!
16 degrees of timing. 175 shot of nitrous, 900 O2s, and he asked, I'm worried you're leaving some stuff on the table.
What?
I was like, I assure you, this is more aggressive than any car in the ZZP parking lot.
No way that there's anything left there. Yeah.
Ooh, baby.
Somebody brought it up earlier, and I wanted to grab it. One thing that is so critical, and like we're talking about, we're dealing with old cars.
Mm-hmm.
Fuel pumps are getting old. Oh, they're getting weak.
Everything is getting
old. Pressure.
Yeah, fuel pressure.
Fuel pressure is so critical.
TJ was in here talking about his fuel pressure.
Yeah,
him and Tim went back and forth about 67 times on a cold start, and we finally just got the car back up here, and we did some testing on it, and the check valve in his brand new ZL1 pump was bad. It just wasn't holding enough pressure when the car was off.
Mm-hmm.
So it took all that time for the fuel pump to get the fuel to the rail, and it just was like a short, delayed start, you know? And even sometimes when you held the key and primed the pump, it would just still not do it.
Yeah.
It's hard to do on a push button
start.
It's
super hard. It's not like the old GM cars where you can cycle it, run the pump, cycle it off, run, you know? Check valve. So, like, a single check valve in an OEM GM part, you know, put us through hours of diag time and tune updates, just trying to work through it, thinking we had another underlying issues. And, you know, we aren't the best at all times, you know, just like you guys. It's all trial and error and, you know, using your diag tools the best of your ability on getting some of this stuff corrected.
But, it's something that's not often thought about, and your car can be running poorly, and you know all it takes is run to AutoZone, rent that tool, check your fuel pressure. Even adjusted idle, it can tell you a lot.
Man, those mechanical fuel pressure gauges, like they're pretty cheap.
Yeah,
Like, we have one for the dyno bay. It's got like a 6-foot whip on it, and you can run it under the wiper. Mm-hmm. You just, you know, really connect it to your Schrader valve on your fuel rail and then run it under the wiper and then floor it and make sure your fuel pressure doesn't go down at full throttle. Because it should go nothing but up at full throttle.
Yeah. Paul with his goblin, we're diagging it right now. He has like 80 to 100 PSI of fuel pressure.
Whoa!
But then under full throttle, it drops way down.
Ah.
So, yeah, we're figuring out that.
How's he monitoring fuel pressure?
A gauge. Okay. Yeah, he's got a gauge, and he put a GoPro on it. Weird?
I'm so happy that all the cars I tune now have fuel pressure.
Yeah, the other day we're looking at a skim. Tim's like, what's the fuel pressure? I'm like,
I don't know.
I ain't in the passenger seat with this dude. That's a dang old 3800, man. It just...
I got like 3 sensors.
I do want to...
Math O2 and math.
Chris Boltman mentioned exhaust leaks in front of the O2 sensor. Ooh. Or... Close to it, yeah. Post.
Yep.
Bad news, people. So, you know, there's something called the Venturi effect. Well, if you have an exhaust leak, just because there's pressure doesn't mean that fresh air can't get in that leak. Mm-hmm. So you have these pulses flying through your exhaust, and they're pulling in fresh air. That O2 sensor is seeing that fresh air, and it's like, whoa.
Yeah.
Like,
this isn't great.
Yeah, I must adjust this fuel. So you cannot have leaks. Leaks, there's just usually the... train sound under the hood, like a
yeah.
Sound. Yeah, we had usually one that kind of sounded like the Jetsons, like
yeah.
LNF exhaust manifold earlier this week. It was pretty funny.
Yeah,
just like a yes, it was interesting, but yeah.
Wait, yeah, exhaust so leaks. Small, and it's sound coming out of there. Yeah,
well, and it's got the little gasket in there. It's just flapping.
Yeah, one of my remote tune customers, Anthony, was in here earlier, and he's like, oh, my header leaks so bad. We've been dealing with this for like a year.
Nice.
he welds it, and then it's good for a little while, and then I'm like, dude, the O2's off. Like, the fuel trims are bad, something happened, and he's like, oh, yeah, the header crack opened back up. And it can make a really big difference.
Yeah, it's the small stuff like that when going over a vehicle that, you know, again, you're driving these cars, you guys are driving a car hard, just like we want you to, but... Eventually, everything is made at a stress point. Everything has stress. Everything will eventually sort of failure.
The old 3800 TOG headers, the SLP headers, all those headers are really hard to get sealed up. And basically, when you're all said and done, you have both manifold connections, you have the two crossover connections, and then you have the downpipe connection all before the primary O2. So there's like six connections before your primary O2 that you got to have dialed.
Yeah, if it's not dialed, that's a bad day.
You know, one of the cool things about our header is it mounts the O2 in the crossover pipe, mm-hmm. which is only one connection on the manifold and then one slip fit mm-hmm. before the O2. And then the nice thing about that is it makes the O2 serviceable from the top of the engine, and you don't have to run an extension down underneath the car to get it in the downpipe.
Yeah.
You know, some would say, oh, it's only sniffing one side. Yeah, that is a slight downfall, but from a tuning aspect, it's not a big deal. The only and the 3800 doesn't really run different bank to bank. You would have a different issue, but
yeah, it's not like the 3800 has two maps and you have a bank one and bank two fuel trim. Like you have one fuel trim. So
some two I want to bring up just while it's on my mind too. So as we know, sometimes the part throw part is not the right answer, specifically when coming to sensors.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a big one. Is somebody gets the P0171 guys on the 3800s, they get a lean code, so they think the car's running lean. You know, this is just to button up our vacuum leak talk, is they think the car's running lean, so they do an O2 sensor, and they take out their OEM O2 sensor that's completely working fine and very good. Like, sometimes we prefer OEM O2 sensors.
Oh, yeah.
And then that doesn't work, so then they replace the MAF. So they just took away this car's two main sources of fueling and replace it with aftermarket China parts.
Yeah.
And now have a bigger issue on their hands than they ever dreamt of this P0171.
Yeah.
And then say they do get the vacuum leak fixed, the car still runs like crap because of their crappy MAF and their crappy O2 sensor that are a slow switching, slow to respond, inaccurate as hell. And the other one is too, is misfires, and then instead of figuring out their actual ignition system failure, they just replace the ICM, which basically never fails.
Oh my god.
It will fail, but yeah. like you need a the OEM ones are
OEM
not.
Ones are that's it.
We
like
we would rather or
the
you
replacement
put,
ones sorry are not.
We would rather you grab another 100,000 mile MAF sensor mm-hmm. that's yes. OEM out of a junkyard and put it in your
They're
Grand
like
$3.
Yeah.
Than or to put a pocket. Brand new.
So the
advanced
if you wanted to go to Weller and pull an ICM, they charge you I think $10 for them, and if you go anywhere else, they're hundreds, and they're yep. remanufactured junk.
They always yes. fail. I've had a 300 customer. 2 months ago or so, he went through 7 ICMs. He kept going back to Oz. I'm like, brother, stop going. He said, well, I got a warranty on it. I'm like, you can try it. You may get lucky, and you didn't. So eventually, on the sixth one, he's like, all right, man, I'm gonna go back to the junkyard just one day. I'm like, pull it. Let's see what happens.
Well, the nice thing is 3,800 pages. We got 30,000 plus members in our group. Like. And you know other places like you can ask anybody got an ICM that I, yeah. you know can you
and hundreds of thousands of if not millions of 3,800 down the road like
yeah
there's a lot in any yard you can go to any junkyard and get yeah. an ICM
after you guys like hey man my car runs fine now I'm like yeah, yeah dude this has been 6 months
yeah
I was running with this
but it's fascinating how bad some of these MAF sensors can be.
Oh, and 15% differences.
Yeah, totally. Like, you know, people would be like, oh, yeah, I replaced the MAF. It's good. And you get the next scan back, and you're like, what in the world happened?
So, the Duralast, the AutoZone brand.
No, the worst.
Yeah, the AutoZone brand, there is a 14% difference
yeah.
in the MAF. Like, I had a customer get it, look at a log. Like, I was talking with Matt. He's like, this customer changed the MAF. The MAF is 14% off.
Yeah.
It's like, usually worse in the lower airflow. The aftermarket sensors don't read good at low airflow.
Yeah.
Like they almost get closer the more wide open throttle you go, which is good because it's not blowing up your engine.
yeah.
But at low idle stuff, low airflow yeah. stuff, it's rough. Yeah.
We always preach, especially for those main couple sensors for any GM vehicle, MAF, O2, you know, even MAP sensors.
Yeah. Your car runs.
Just stick with OEM stuff.
Your car runs off of those. Like literally, your car, the MAF. I would say arguably the MAF sensor is the most important sensor in the entire vehicle. I have customers that will say, "Hey man, I have this MAF code. My car's running poor." I'm like, "Yeah man, your MAF code. Oh, is that code? Is that sensor really doing all this?" I'm like, "Yes, that affects everything in the entire car. That is the first line of defense. If that is all FUBAR'd." You're gonna have a bad time, man.
If you have a bad cam sensor or a bad crank sensor, like the car probably isn't gonna run at all, so you're just dead until you diagnose it. But a MAF, you can have a bad MAF.
Yes.
You can I've seen MAFs fail to zero if you're lucky. I've seen MAFs fail to like really high numbers to where the car like you start it and it like putts and then you shut it off, and then you go to scan it and it reads like 50 pounds a minute at idle. like you know, well, like while you're cranking.
Yeah.
So like the MAF is one of the most, like one of the sensors that can be off and your car will still run, but like could detonate at any moment from it.
Yeah. The jumpiness in the MAF or flat lines in the MAF too.
Yep.
That's
So we've talked about sensors. We've talked about, you know, specific codes. We've talked about quite a few things here. So let's kind of finish up with how do we help our customers diagnose products? Like how do we... Like, what's a good way to actually diagnose your car for whatever? Like, some general tips that we would all give to our customers.
Well, first thing is going to be...
I always like to lead up, what were the circumstances that led to this?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because a lot of times we work through an issue a long time and don't realize they just changed something on the car.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, or maybe they haven't changed anything on the car, but, you know... I haven't drove it in 6 months, you know, that's a factor, you know, there's a lot of factors. Like, so what were those circumstances that led it up to this issue? Because you kind of got to backtrack and think, you know, put yourself in the car's shoes. what's going on here?
Yeah.
What's frustrating to add to what Bo just said is we deal with a lot of customer dishonesty and it's really frustrating. Mm-hmm. Like the customer, like you'll be like 6 emails in. And you'll be prying stuff out of them and like nothing is coming. And then all of a sudden they're like, I put a different Duralast MAF in the car. And it's like, where was this information? Like, why did you put that math in there? And why didn't you tell me you put that math in there? Mm-hmm. Like, I don't understand why customers, like, they don't want to tell you that they did something so much.
The success of your build, and especially with the remote tuning, is more, is as dependent on you being transparent with the vehicle as it is with us on what we're doing.
Yeah. I'm not, like, going to judge you for having a clunker.
Yeah, that's
no, fine. I got clunkers. We work on clunkers all the time.
Like, we've all owned too many clunkers.
We kind of like fixing up clunkers.
Yeah.
It's really satisfying. Really satisfying.
But yeah, you know, if you said, oh, well, I thought the math's bad, I went and ran to AutoZone and got another one, we'll be like, hey,
let's try the older one.
Yep.
Yeah.
Go back.
Yeah. Put the old one back in.
Yeah. All maths are not the same, basically. So,
my recommendation would be, don't hop on Facebook and say XYZ happened.
Thing you could do.
What's going on? Because
you'll get 15 different answers.
Well, it's just like every problem with the internet these days. Everybody has an opinion, and it's free to post.
Yeah.
The most frequent posters are the ones that know the least amount.
Yeah.
Most times, most times.
Like, man, like, just, oh, God, it floors me, like, how much internet just gives everybody an opinion.
Well, but that's
and
the
it's
thing.
Just so much misinformation. It's just
it's
terrible.
An opinion.
Yeah, my cousin replaces O2, and it fixed my math code.
Well, like, that's what I'm saying. Earlier, like, when I saw the first thing, this guy, once that one guy says, you replace your O2s, and your O2's bad. Where did you get that from? A circuit code and a map.
The best thing you could do with a Facebook post like that is take everybody's opinion in there and just write down, all right, this guy said math. Put a tally under that. All right, this guy said this. Put a tally under that. This guy said this. And then just, you at least have an average there.
That's true.
That's not bad.
That's
good advice. All right, 9 people said math. Okay, maybe it is the math. Like, the math code is telling me this.
Yeah.
There are some smart people on the groups, but the smart people are definitely outnumbered by the dumb people.
Well, and a lot of times, and I hate to say I'm guilty enough, you scroll into a post,
you start reading,
it's got 56 comments in there, and you're like, I could throw mine in there, but like, I just,
what's it gonna do?
People
have their own biases and all the other stuff, but yeah. That's a whole other podcast right there.
Noah Hammock had a great point. Don't throw away old sensors before you get the problem fixed.
Don't throw away old parts.
Yes.
Amen.
Coil packs, sensors. Downpipe. I don't care what
intakes,
it is.
Whatever
intakes,
it is.
What, guys, that's a great diag thing, because something that I will tell someone to do, absolutely, if they believe the part, sometimes it's to prove a point too. But like, say, like, hey, my intake's bad. Like, hey, man, put the stock one on. Oh, well, I'm still getting the code. So there you go. Shows you the intake is
that's
not good.
Like, man. Yeah. Probably shouldn't admit to this. You gotta be a parts fan. Sometimes, sometimes a little bit of FU is in my responses, like, put your stock tune back on the car. Like, because you just have these customers like, oh, tune's bad. And it's like, the last tune I sent to you was, everything looks great, and that was 8 months ago.
Yeah.
And now all of a sudden the tune's bad and you need a new tune?
Guys,
put the stock tune back on the car.
I just don't understand. You're wrenching in the garage. You got your new ZZP part. You're like, hell yeah. I'm fucking pumped about this. Take all your stock stuff off and you stand up, walk over to the garbage can, and go, never gonna that again.
I mean, guys,
put the other stuff on. Like, yeah, we obviously engineer and design our parts to be as drop-in as possible, but things happen.
Things happen.
And like Ryan said, even if it's just to diagnose something, you could say, oh, well, I got this code now, but you didn't tell us that it was there before the new part.
Yeah.
So, like, Just wait until everything's kosher.
Yeah.
And know that we know that when you order a PCM update, that you might be trying to trick us into fixing
fix
your broken car with a PCM tune update.
I like
update.
That. I like that. I might have to use that.
But,
like,
I have to use that
next time I got a problem. I'll just buy a PCM update.
I should reword this. Like, you're like, oh, hey, Bo, install bay manager Bo. Like, I just want to bring my car and have you dyno tune it.
Yeah.
We know what you're up to. Your car's broken.
Tim, you got a comment for your ATS-V tune. From
Nick Foglio?
Nick Foglio.
Cool. Yeah. Heck yeah.
It's good to hear.
Somebody earlier shouted you out for their 1-4 too.
Hey,
okay. Look at that. Cool. So, but yeah, so guys, so again, we say this a little tongue in cheek, but for diagnosing, like also too, having the right tool. Yep. HP tuners. Everybody. Yeah. Every single customer. So, I don't care how much your car is modded. HP tuners. I know I just made Bowman real mad with that one.
I'm on the bandwagon on HP, man. It's 2025.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're there. HP tuners cost $400 plus your credits. Yeah. There is
Need credits. Just have it to scan. Yeah.
It is the best scanner. It is the best diag tool. Yes. It is the most useful. Connect your car with us.
Boltman, yes.
It is so good.
It's so good.
It used to be very expensive.
Yes.
And unobtainable. But in the grand scheme of things now, if you were to buy the first thing, you'd buy a platform car. I'd argue HP tuners is the first mod.
Yeah. I can agree with that. 100%.
I would say so as well.
I agree. And like,
because like, if you have it, everything from there on out is going to be a cakewalk.
I had an Eclipse that had way too many mods done to it to tune it on a air fuel gauge.
You had a mini AFC on it, or an AFC controller on that thing?
Yes, and I had an air fuel gauge, which for those of you that don't know what that
took
is.
A narrowband signal.
It samples your narrowband signal and just lights up some bars on it. Yeah. Yes, I had an Eclipse that made well over 400 wheel, and I tuned it on a narrowband O2 sensor gauge. I'm embarrassed. It was like 20 plus years
ago. Yo, that was back in 2001.
Me not buying a wideband O2 back then. Yes, widebands were like $600 back then.
No, they were expensive.
It cost me like 3 or 4 engines.
Yeah.
Like, a wideband O2 is not a bad gauge. Does everybody need one? No. Just like in Ryan and I's video that we did. Like, I have tuned more cars on narrowband O2s than widebands. Like, I admit to that. Like, probably 100 times more narrowband cars tunes. And it works for most cars. But if you're, like, big turbo, big cams, like, come on, man. Yeah. Like, there are so many things going on here that affect the narrowband accuracy. Like a wideband. Like it could save you an engine.
Yeah.
Like
absolutely.
A wideband gauge is like what? Like $180 now?
Yeah, if that.
$200.
Like,
yep.
$200 or less, you can have a wideband, and like, and it's not skewed by things like the narrowband is.
No.
It's not skewed by cam overlap and like exhaust temperature and
temp.
Yes. You know, diameter of exhaust tubing. Like it is a great gauge. So, like, HP tuner's number one for sure.
Yeah.
Like, scanning, tuning, everything. We love you guys with HP tuners. And then next is a wideband O2, man. The great gauge.
Yeah. So, I want to say, Arcane Shadow, what's up, dude? So, I want to take it. So, 400 also isn't doable for some people. I totally agree.
Yeah.
However, there is that thing. If you bought a $200 intake.
And a $200 downpipe.
And a $200 downpipe.
You're there.
You're right there.
Yeah.
Like, again, and RK, I know you've been saving up for some stuff and other people's stuff.
I respect
stuff, so
budgeting yourself.
Budgeting yourself 100%.
But if $400 isn't doable, modern cars isn't doable. Yeah.
It might save you an engine. How much does an engine cost?
Yeah.
Well, more than that.
Well, so much money.
$12,000.
$400 could save you 3 MAP sensors and 2 O2
sensors. Yeah. So it could save you a lot of time.
It could save you a parts can and repair.
It's a little unfortunate in the sense of like, okay, so HP tuners and a wideband. That's $700. Yeah, that's a lot of money. But if you are planning on modding this car. Or just owning it and going forward with it. We see people who have spent $10,000 and they have bench flashes and no widebands.
Yes.
And it's
wild.
You got to protect your investment with it.
Yes.
Yeah. It boggles my mind.
I like that. There is a protection of an investment. Because, I mean, let's just be honest.
Just a little insurance.
We watch 1320 video. We see all the fast cars racing down the highway and doing D stuff like that. You think any of them on bench flashes? Not a single one. They are on either standalones. They are on custom remote tunes.
Yeah.
They are on dial tunes. Guys, it's kind of one of those things that we offer bench tuning as a budget way of getting a tune on the car. And it's good. Usually within 1 to 5% of being perfect. Very,
on a well-running
very close.
Car.
On a well-running car. However, to diagnose your car and to save you months, sometimes years of issues, a log literally saves.
Yes.
Just so much.
Just think about, you take your car to the shop. Just diag fees is going to be $150 to $200 an hour.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
1 to 2 hours and you've paid for HPT.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was straight off the bat. Want
to grab Nick's comment?
Yeah, Tim, that's a good one for you.
Oh.
So Nick says a ZZP A pillar and AN wide band is next on my list. But ATSV has a factory wide band, right? We should have bought some in the video.
I am so disappointed in GM for this. Like, so they put a wideband O2 in a Cobalt.
Yeah.
And in the base Cobalt model ATSV.
I love Cobalts. But like, they put a wideband O2 in a stupid Cobalt. But they did not put a wideband in our ATSVs.
In a factory $80,000 sports car.
It is a great upgrade. For example, just this story is just today. A customer sent me a scan, and he had a AEM OBD2 wideband in it. The narrow band showed 90802s. So sounds, what do you think? Good. What do you think? Like 1150, right? Yep. 1150, 1180, you know, maybe 1200, maybe.
We're going to be looking at knock at that point.
It was 12.8 air fuel ratio on the wide band.
Hey Nick, like, if you want, I will set you up with a custom invoice for that. Shoot me personally an email so we can help you get it. Ryan.diaz@easeperformance.com. Let me know if you have a coupe or sedan, and I'll get you with the right ride band you need.
Yeah.
Other gauges, and we'll make sure you always do is press click. That goes for all you guys watching too. If you guys have stuff that you want to make sure is right on your order, I can't do tune pays. They have a lot of options, but as far as right parts, feel free to shoot me an email, ryan.diaz@easeperformance.com. I will happily make you a custom invoice. You just send it, you press pay, and you have the right parts.
We love setting people up with the recipe and just letting them go.
Yeah.
We'll do our thing on our end from the tuning side. You enjoy your car.
Absolutely.
And that's what it's all about. And that's why we offer free, for the most part, diagnostic services.
Other companies charge for it. They literally charge you to diag, and we do it for free if you have HP tuners along with your tune.
Yeah.
It is 50% of our time as tuners.
Yeah.
Diagnosing broken cars.
It is.
Yeah.
Like, hey, your MAFHERTZ is way too low at idle. You have a vacuum leak. Or
your fuel trims are super high.
Another one we haven't touched on, but when you have a lean code, that does not mean your car is running lean.
We have videos on that too. But yeah, your cars, when it has a risk code or lean code, your car is not running lean. You have fuel trims to correct it.
Unless it's so bad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Unless it's off the charts lean.
They have 60% of up and down.
Yeah.
To work with. So, like, just because it has a 171 doesn't mean you can't drive it.
Yeah.
Yes.
100%.
Don't beat on it.
Yeah, I wouldn't beat on it, but.
So the ECM has, like, up and, or, like, lower and high limits on your fuel trims. Mm-hmm. And as soon as it hits that amount of, that many percent of fuel added, it triggers a lean code.
Yes.
But. Let me tell you, the air fuel ratio is perfect that whole time.
Yeah.
Because that is what your short and long term trims are there for. It adds whatever percent of fuel to make the air fuel ratio correct.
Yeah.
And then as soon as you achieve that higher low setting, then all of a sudden it's like, hey, you need to fix me. Like, I'm adding way too much fuel to fix this air fuel ratio. I need some attention.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And then that's where HP Tuners comes in. You talk to your tuner. Like, every one of us, like, every, you know, both with 3800, Tyler with LSJ, you know, Adam and Matt with 2.2, Matt with LNF, me with Sonic and LTG and ATSVs. Like, we know the numbers that the car should be showing at all these different situations. And we can tell you, like, when we see something that's standing out.
Well, the best
thing
is we drive these cars every day.
Yes.
Yes.
Yep. We own these cars. We live these cars. We're here for you guys on these cars.
So all of us at this table have more than one platform car.
I got three. Tyler has 17. Three. You have 1,000. Bo has
three.
Four. Three.
Sorry.
Four. I think I have four. Three,
right?
I got
four right now.
Three. I lose three.
LTG, ATSV, Sonic. Yeah. So.
Yeah. So two things I want to bring up because we got to start winding down. So two things. I do just want to, just for you tuners up here, because I just want to put this out into the ether. Kind of dying. Here it comes. I get people coming like, yeah, my math is running like 64. You know, I was making way more and all that stuff. I'm not calling out anyone particular. Again, we have our friends out there. But guys, the tuners, do you want to comment on how that math number, what that math number is, and how a tuner, like other sleazy tuners may make you think you're making more horsepower than you think you are? Can someone comment on that real quick?
Any tuner can make that pounds per minute, whatever number they want it to show.
Yeah, yeah.
That number is so easily skewed. Oh man, like
there's so a whole
much.
Podcast.
So your intake, the air intake that you use skews the MAF frequency sent to the ECM. The ECM has so many tables you can manipulate to make it show a pounds per minute.
Yep.
Like the only time that we can tell a car is fast, because like I do it all the time. Like I'll be like, oh, I know Tyler's Camaro hits 11,500 hertz on a ZZP intake or whatever. I think it's higher. I think it's closer to 12. Mm-hmm. But like I'll have customers occasionally that pull more hertz than you on the same darn air intake.
Yeah.
And that kind of goes along with like, I'm not going to like turn your car down because your car is happier than Tyler's. Like every once in a while, there's a car that's just really freaking happy.
We want you guys to be fast like us.
Yeah. So your MAF pounds per minute, completely ignore that number. It is irrelevant. Like that is just how accurate the tune is, each sensor is, and assuming that there are no leaks anywhere.
Yeah. And like, and especially on the older PCMs, there is a hard-coded limit in the hex file, like in within the PCM architecture that we cannot go over. So you, you go to ID 1050s, and you're going to report back like 24 pounds a minute.
Yeah.
It's like stock blower numbers, you gotta, but you're making 500.
You got to pull that fuel out of somewhere.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there... it's so easy for people to be like, oh, well, you know,
I'm running 64 pounds a minute
on the MAF, but guys, there's a lot more that goes behind it. And what I always tell people are like, the car's happy, you're happy, feels fast, it's getting faster with each revision or, you know, whatever, the more mods you do, enjoy that.
Yeah.
Pay attention to this.
But don't go bragging on the internet. Like, I'm running 64 pounds a minute. Like sending a screenshot of HPs. I look how much math I'm running.
I could, yeah.
We can make those math read real dumb.
Any pounds a minute.
I mean,
you
just backscale the injectors. I mean, the other thing on 3800s that makes mass read really high is weak fuel pressure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. If you got 40 pounds of fuel pressure and we've put 20% in the math, it's going to read.
Yeah. You just manipulate it. And then the computer's like, whoa.
3800s have an injector max table. Like, you can't go over this many pounds a minute. LSJs have a max injector. Sonics have a max injector. For example, let's just talk about Randy's Sonic. Randy's like, I want 1050s because they're badass injectors.
Yeah,
excuse
sweet.
My language. Like, it's a very large injector that can pulse very small still.
Better than 80s.
Like, man, is that a good drivable injector.
Of 80s.
Yeah.
So I input all the injector data into Randy's file, and it maxes the injector chart. And I'm like, ah, darn it. Like, I want this car to run proper. So what I did was I raised the injector chart up to where I just hit the max on the one side. And it's like, okay, now I'm like, I don't know. I don't remember what the number was, but I have 20 more percent that I need to pull out of this injector. So what did I do? I pulled it out of the MAF. I pulled it out of the VE. And then here you go. Like, is your fuel economy going to be accurate anymore?
No,
because it relies on your injector pulse width.
Yeah.
But Randy has proper injector data in his ECM, like the most proper way I could do it.
Yep.
So like, and you know, yeah, his pounds per minute are not going to report as high as
they're
mine.
Not reflect.
Because I'm only running 60s and 60s are fine on a 1.4 ECM.
Yeah. And Randy's car is fast AF right now. So that kind of leads to the next point. So, and this is just what I want to leave us on before we talk about our weekends, what we're doing. Recently, I spoke to a customer. I was really pumped, you know, to help him out and everything. He says, "Hey, man, I got a 2.7 pulley, and you know,
boy,
but you know, I want to make this car fast. How do I do it?" I'm like, "Hey, man, well, what other
put a bigger pulley on it?"
I was like, "Hey, man, what do you have done to this car?" He's like, "Nothing, completely stuck." I'm like, "Brother, please. I'm begging you. I will send you a video of me on my hands and knees. Please take that off."
Wait, will you?
Oh, yeah. For the right person. But please take it off. That it's not the right pulley size. It's an ass. So I went through with him. And I was like, "Well, man, why do you think you need a pulley that small?" He's like, "Well, I figured that ZZP is just trying to keep me from making horsepower." Guys, that hurt my absolute soul.
Yeah.
Like, guys, we at ZZ Performance We are here for you guys. This is our sport. And yes, this is a business, et cetera, et cetera. But this sport, we want to bring the joy of these cars that are underappreciated in all of our markets. We want to bring that joy to all of you. I myself was a customer first, and I
same
was
same
same. Yeah, we were all customers first, and I got to have such a joy in life. I've met people. I've had doors open up for me just through this stupid hunk of metal Cobalt that I have.
I know.
Like, I raced faster cars than I should have. I beat faster cars.
It's not
than
even
I should've.
About the Cobalt anymore.
It's not even. Like, we have had, I've had such, I work closely with Matt and Tim and everyone here at ZZ Performance before I was had the pleasure of working here. And we, ZZ Performance, wants your guys' cars to be as fast, if not faster, because guess what? If your cars are faster than ours, it makes us look really dang good. We want that.
We get to build our cars more, yeah. And then go race them.
Yeah.
Like, yes. It's,
we get to race and have fun, and I'm going to catch you out on the highway and gap the crap out of you, and you're going to grab the crap. Like, it's just
like
going to be
any
fun.
Like, if any customer Sonic wants to get anywhere near, I don't know, 12s, 11s, 10s, you know?
Yeah.
That'd be great, because then I'd have some competition and we can Sonic back out.
Yeah.
Pull it out.
We're just talking about it at lunch.
Pull it out of retirement. But
that's the thing, like, guys, we want, I want to put it out there so you guys can clip it, put it on the Facebook groups. We have nothing to hold. We don't want to hold back. We have to keep your car safe. We're not going to put your car on the Razor Edge and try to blow you up because you're going to be mad at us for blowing your car up. But we're going to give you as much power as you can safely have to enjoy your cars and go and race and beat those Mustangs and those Camaros and all. And your buddy's been talking stuff with his 2000 F body LS1 car. He thinks it can beat your stock turbo LNF.
Ain't
no way, boy.
Ain't no way.
We gonna make you beat him. We gonna help you out.
Yeah.
So we just want everyone to know that we are here for you. We want your cars to be as fast as we possibly can. Yeah. So you can enjoy your car as much as we can enjoy it. We want to bring that joy to you all, to our customers, to our base, and to all the people that have supported us throughout every single year.
Yep. Hell yeah. Yeah, I think I can speak for all of us. Like, we're addicts of modifying cars. Mm-hmm. Like, when you email us and you're like, what do I do? This is, you know, I've got this, you know, whatever car. What do I do to it? Like, I get like
Tim
this,
going.
This
yeah.
grin.
Oh, yeah. Tim, this
gets
grin.
You, Timmy's like, going. You're like, ooh,
here we go.
Let me lay it out.
Yeah.
Like, it's just like somebody gave me this 15 ATS,
uh-huh.
and it's like mine to mod. Like,
yeah.
I love this stuff.
Yep.
Like,
Tim
we all love this stuff.
Tim treats the car like it's his own. Like, there'll be times, guys, I'm going to not recommend you a part because I'm like, hey, man, what do you think? Like,
yeah,
when
yeah
like,
you don't need it.
Yeah, I will ask you, like, hey, what are you trying to do with your car? Well, I just want a good day job. It's going to spool fast. Like, I'm not going to recommend you a 257 LNF kit. I'm going to say, brother, Z54, this car, cans, valve springs, this. I'm going to give you a list of what you need for your setup and your budget. Cause that's what we do. And I want you guys to know, go to a different company to try this. Like, if let's say you get like a LT1 Camaro, go to a different company, try to ask them what to do. You'll get dead silence, radio silence. Tim with his Raptor.
Dead silence or here by our $15,000 engine package.
Yeah.
Like,
Tim has been dealing with this with his Raptor. He asked a question. He hasn't got a response on half the emails he sent.
Whenever I buy a non-platform car and then I go and email other companies about like what I want to do, like there's just no response. It just blows me away. Like when you email ZZP and you're like, I have a 12 Cruise automatic and you're like, what do you do? And then we're like, all right, you do this, and this. Like, other companies don't do that.
They don't do that.
Or they sell you dumb stuff that you don't need. We're not going to sell you a full poly motor mount package for your like
daily driver.
Daily driver. Yeah. Like,
you guys, I get yelled at sometimes because I'm not just trying to sell parts because my job as most customer service and a Ecotech specialist, I want to make sure you're having most fun with your cars.
Yes.
I want to make sure that you are having the parts you need and you will run on the car.
Yeah.
And stuff, and it's not some frivolous stuff you're not gonna need, like a valve cover brace that doesn't do anything.
Yeah.
Like,
what about that valve cover?
All right, before you guys are rolling, and I love it.
Stupid part.
Like, but
I just want to punch people for that.
I don't want to interrupt
you.
This.
Suck.
Yeah.
I have a customer in the waiting room. I gotta go.
Yeah. God,
this weekend. This weekend.
What are you doing?
What are we doing,
dude?
You got an HHRSS.
I got an HHRSS. It's about to get
what was that, an LNF? You got an LNF?
About ready to be ear to ear.
About to get a home-built Gen 3 fucking stuffed inside.
We're going to put an LNF pop coke can on that thing.
We got a new transmission. I'm just I'm kind of freaking out. I got to go home and time it. There's no push rods.
It's easy.
I don't know where anything goes.
I can't wait for this.
I did it with zip ties on my tutu. It's fine.
I can't wait for the HHR, the wife mobile, to gap the roof. I can't wait for it.
Yeah, it's fast. It's going to be fast. But yeah, I got to go home. So I got the whole thing together. I literally got to time it, put the cams in it, and bolt it to the trans, and it's going in the hole.
Nice.
Tyler, what's you doing?
Going to Erica's work party tonight. So we're going to do that, and then probably zippity-zoop out of there because it'll be boring. Yeah. And go to the bar. Last F1 race of the year on Sunday.
Yep. Let's go, Louis!
I'm going to work on the Saab.
Dude, I missed the Saab. Guys, he has a V6 turbo Saab wagon on BBSs. It's gangster.
It's so good.
He needs to put it on air.
And I'm taking my time. I'm, you know, meticulously, like I'm painting.
Is Saab at home?
Yeah, it's at home.
Air bolts orientated correctly?
No.
That's the Bocard right there.
I don't do that. But yeah, so anyway.
Pim, what you got?
F1 and hot tub, and that's about it.
Let's go. Let's go. Lewis Hamilton, number one. We talked about Mercedes, and next year Ferrari. Let's get it.
I would like to see Louis win, but he won't.
On the topic
Mercedes is...
On the topic of bolts being orientated properly, you know all those LNF intake manifold bolts are oriented exactly the same.
My man.
And the valve cover.
You're an LNF fight. My man.
And the exhaust manifold. My man.
Is there an engine dress-up kit on it?
No, I'm too broke. it'll get one. It's just like, where do you draw the line? Where do you draw the line, or just like actually get it together? Because I could nickel and dime and piece and part this whole thing together over the whole winter, but I need to drive it. It's the winter beater, and it's winter.
Yep.
That's the thing. You got to get it going. Then you can nickel and dime it for the rest of time.
I don't know what I'm doing.
All the bolts didn't get the wire wheel.
Girlfriend after work today. I have some friends invite me to some sort of convention in Chicago. I have no idea what it is. They're like, hey, man, if you come, we'll pay for you.
Street racing convention?
I have no idea.
Don't street race anything that you have right now.
Dude, I will gap everybody in that Sonic. Play me. I will take it. That Raptor want to see some Sonic taillights? Grab a lane.
Red Sonic's kind of quick.
It's quick when Ryan floors at 3 seconds ahead before you're even racing.
It never works on me.
You know, I call him.
Dakota was walking around like, I think I lost to the Red Sonic. And I'm like, yeah, it's because Ryan floored.
That's not true. I chased him. No, he floored it first, and I chased him. That was a legit one, boy.
I don't believe Ryan Derek chased anybody.
You don't
anybody.
Have to believe it. Brother.
No.
In the Red Sox, I'll chase anybody because I have nothing to lose.
Cut it.
Have a good weekend, everybody. Chase the race.